95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
What a beautiful afternoon. The sky's sunny. The high today 71. Tonight fair with a low at 44. And for tomorrow and Saturday, a good supply of sunshine both days with mild afternoons. Highs between 72 and 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 67 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
There we go. Welcome into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. False start on the play. That is on me. 15-yard penalty. False start, 5-yard penalty. Repeat. What down would it be, Chase? It's Thursday, so we can't really say fourth down. I'm going to say third down. I don't know. Welcome in. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are ready for another fun one here on the show. Nothing lined up in terms of the interview department, unless my dad randomly hops on here or what happens. But we definitely have plenty of time. We're going to dive into the Oklahoma-Alabama talk a little bit more. And, give you guys a little bit more of a preview there. Big shout out to Ronnie Anderson. He joined us yesterday. If you guys missed that, man, go back and listen to it. We had him on the show, I think around 11:30, so it's probably about 30 minutes in yesterday's episode. But a lot of good stuff. Got his preview on the game. Again, he now works, he's a former Oklahoma running back, but now works with the collective there at Oklahoma. And he also answered some questions about the running game, which is an extremely hot topic with Alabama right now. So a lot of good stuff with that. You guys can always go back and check that out. But we'll be breaking it down ourselves here, talk about our keys, things we're looking out for, matchups, a little bit more in depth. Plus, I'll probably pull up some tape of Oklahoma. Now, again, you guys know we are live on radio, so we try to do that during the breaks because it's hard to try to break tape down for our listeners who are listening via the app or via radio. So we try to do it in between when we can. And we always can go overtime. We did that yesterday. And speaking of that, it actually was good. We pulled up the Vanderbilt game. Why do we do that? Well, speaking of the running game, we had a lot of success with the running game in that game against Vanderbilt and rushing for like 130-something yards. And we got to see what the running game looks like when it is successful, when guys are executed, when we're getting our blocks, we're getting pushed, we're getting having success in the double teams, climbing to the next level, when we're running counter and the pullers get their kickout blocks, guys block down and open up lanes. So we got to see all that on the tape. So if there's anything else like that you guys have coming to mind, let me know. We can always pull that up. Worst case, we do it at the end like we did yesterday. But just always know we can do that. Always enjoy breaking down some tape. Per usual, got to remind you about our friends over at the Good Feet Store, America's Art Support Experts. Homecoming is this weekend. We got a home game, clearly. That means we will have another Good Feet Kick for Cash challenge. So sign up right now. GoodFeetKickForCash.com is the website. Name, email, that's all it takes, and you are enrolled. Now, that doesn't mean everybody gets an opportunity, but if you are selected, you do get a chance to go kick some field goals, 10, 20, 30 yards. Make them, you win free cash. If you miss them, you still walk away with the free gift bag from the Good Feet store. So regardless, you're getting something free. Make sure you guys do that. GoodFeetKickForCash.com. Sign up right now, name and email. Plus, if you're dealing with any type of pain, foot pain, knee pain, or back pain, don't forget about the Good Feet store. With their premium art supports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain. Chase, I'm back in my walking mode, man. I'm like a walkaholic, man. I walk in the morning, I walk after the show. I love to walk. And thanks to the Good Feet store, man, I don't have to worry about any of the aching pain that I was dealing with the quad tendonitis, plantar fasciitis, all that stuff, man. It is a pain, literally. But the Good Feet store and those art supports, man, they are game changers. So make sure you guys check them out. Try before you buy, nothing to lose. GoodFeet.com for more information or find the nearest location to you. Got one here in Midtown Village, Tuscaloosa. Four other locations throughout Alabama. They are game changers. Again, that is the GoodFeet store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. Chase, man, what's going on? We haven't heard from you, but I know Reed talks a little bit. Chase, I haven't had you talk too much, man. What's going on with you today, bro?
So good to hear your voice, Christian. I appreciate you, bro. I'm doing pretty well. The weather is a lot nicer than it was yesterday. Yeah. I was freezing for sure, but I'm excited for this weekend, honestly, Christian, which is Oklahoma, and just kind of where they're at with their football program, because they're looking for an upset. They're looking kind of to put a fork in the road for Alabama. So I think I'm a little nervous about their defense, because, you know, Brent Venable and what they did last year to us, you know, that is something I don't want football Alabama football fans to go through again. That was brutal that Monday, I'll tell you that. But I'm good, man. I'm excited. It is one last thing. It is sad that college football is like at that midway point. That it's crazy how fast it's like. I'm blinking and it's going to be Auburn week. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. But the good news is the playoffs extended some things. So, I mean, there's an opportunity for up to what we did the math on. It was like another 2 games or something like that. I mean, Alabama's in position to play an SEC championship game. Let me knock on my wooden desk right here. Again, the playoffs, now that it's extended, I mean, there's a good bit of football. So that is the good thing with that. But you are right. I mean, it has kind of – it was weird because I felt like the first part of the season went by quick. It slowed down. I felt the middle portion like really was – it felt long to me at least. And now it kind of sped back up. But, you know, it's part of it. And I don't know if you guys watch NFL, but NFL still has plenty of life in it as well. And you guys already know how we do on here. I mean, we're going to be talking football year-round regardless. Transfer portal, spring ball, all that good stuff, man. I mean, it's nonstop action, but in terms of actually playing games, right? Kind of is getting to that point. But that's why we got to lock in, Chase. It's that time of the year where things really – come down to the nitty-gritty, and you hit it, right? You talked about Oklahoma. I mean, they're a 2-loss team. They're very much alive in this whole race. Now, I don't know where they stand in terms of the whole SEC picture, because, look, there's a lot of good SEC football teams right now that still kind of are in the hunt. Texas, they're a 2-loss team, but only 1 loss in the conference. I mean, they're right there. They got a tough remaining schedule with Georgia and A&M. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can happen and that will happen. But when you look at this matchup, you're right. I mean, they're very much going to come into this game hoping and looking to win it, because that would give them a top 5 win. It would probably propel them. And I don't know necessarily about the SEC race, but in terms of the playoff picture, I mean, I believe Oklahoma is ranked right now. I think they're a top 12 team on the latest college football playoffs. They're 11. Yeah. So they're very much right there. And they're kind of on that cusp, right? So they need to win this game. So it's definitely going to be a matchup. We'll talk about it. Only thing is, Chase, you said their defense. We have to be careful, Chase, about talking about Oklahoma's defense. Here's why. Pat called. He said, oh, you're talking about ad nauseum. But then I get done with the show, Chase. I have an email, and not even this is the funny thing, Chase. Not even from how do I explain this? You know, people can send app messages or people can leave chats. No. Chase, I got a whole email. Somebody took the time to go on our website, www.themillersedge.com. For any of you guys wondering, you can always go on our website. There's plenty of stuff on there, information, whatnot. But they literally went out of their way to find our contact email just to send an email from the other day, Chase, to say, enough about the Oklahoma defense. Goodness. Now, I don't think they say goodness, but the tone of it was pretty much like that. And I was like, damn, I didn't even think we were talking about it that much, but I guess it comes off like that. But here's the thing, guys. To me, that's probably like the key of the game, right? Like when you look at this matchup, you heard Rodney talk about it yesterday. They've been riding their defense, right? I mean, like offensively, Mateer, since he got injured, hadn't really been the same. Let me pull up his stats. I want to say, I mean, I think it's like maybe got 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. I mean, throwing the ball through the air hasn't really been their thing. They hadn't really established their running game. It's been a little bit better the last couple games. But what I'm getting at is, I mean, their defense, I mean, if you look at every statistic in every category, and not to mention just when you watch them play football, they're really good. But I think the misconception, Chase, is, and we'll talk about this, people say, oh, well, you look at Tennessee. I mean, look at Tennessee and Ole Miss. They put up points. I'm like, yeah, I mean, yeah, they had success. And you're talking about a Tennessee offense, which is literally like one of the highest scoring offenses in the country. Ole Miss, a very productive offensive team as well. They run tempo. They got a dual threat quarterback. the way those teams play football is a little bit different than how we play football, right? So we don't necessarily put up as many points. We try to have those longer, sustainable drives. And I think that style of play, I mean, will definitely make a difference in terms of point score. But again, at the end of the day, what does this Oklahoma football team do extremely well? They play damn good defense and they limit the points. So that's why we talk about it. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not going to waste too much time talking about an offense that's kind of, I would say, average right now at best. We'll definitely talk about it for our defense, right? From that perspective, what we need to do. But in terms of, like, when you think about it, I mean, this matchup to me comes down to what defense, and I'm going to get to all this in a minute, but what defense, right, can come up with those stops, those turnovers, because, you know, there's, I mean, our defense is a damn good defense too, and which offense can find a way to capitalize off of those just enough, right? That's how I feel like this game goes. I feel like it's going to be a game of damn good defense on both sides of the ball. And at the end of the day, which offense, when it comes down to those critical moments and capitalizing, right, can do just that to put their team over the edge. So if you guys are wondering why there's a little Oklahoma defense fatigue maybe with us talking about it, that's literally what they are. I mean, their head coach is Brent Venables, a defensive guy, and they're one of the best in the country. So we'll dive deeper into all that and more. Plus, we'll take your calls, 205-342-9904. Is the number to the program. Love to get you guys on here. I know we had a couple calls stranded yesterday because we were loaded up. If you guys want to circle back, man, please do. We'd love to have you. If you haven't already, check us out on YouTube. Again, the stream is every single day we do the show live 11 to 1. Completely free. All we ask is you like and subscribe. Very simple, right? You can watch me do the show. We'll share content on the screen. You can interact with the chat. All that good stuff as well. But first, we're going to take a time out. We come back and keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. Quick time out.
Another language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. All right, so we already started diving into a little bit during the break, but we'll space it out. We got plenty of time because we definitely will dive into some of those main keys that I have for this game. Kind of jumped the gun. We had a good question from Sammy on the chat. It's kind of talking about defensively some things in this game, and I'll definitely dive into it, but just kind of like an overall thing to piggyback off what I was saying. Looking at Oklahoma's offense, you got John Mateer, right? He used his legs to make plays. I mean, he's involved in the running game. You'll see that when they do have the ball in their hands. I know it sounds like a broken record. We say, well, Alabama has struggled with, you know, dual threat quarterbacks, right? And it's true. And it's like everybody else, right? I mean, anytime, and I know this is as good as anybody being an edge guy myself, anytime you play a dual threat quarterback, it's tough for any defense. That added element. I mean, you look at what happened when LSU brought in Van Buren, right? I mean, the fact that he could use his legs to extend plays, he also is making some really nice throws as well. But it's tough on the defense. It's an added element. So that's going to be big. Got to be able to stop that. I think Robinson is the guy's name. We've seen more of him from Oklahoma. Running game has been better as of late, but and even their passing game is kind of average since John Mateer got injured coming back from that. Hadn't been what it looked like maybe initially to start the season, or at least he hasn't been there. They do have a receiver who's, I think, top five in the conference in reception yards. But what I'm getting at is I think the biggest key defensively is making sure you contain that element of John Mateer. Even if you go back to last year, I know it was a different quarterback. It was Jackson Arnold. But that was one of the huge issues in the game. I know everybody was focused on the turnovers offensively, and rightfully so. I mean, that was probably the biggest issue, without a doubt. But the second thing was defensively, we could not get a stop, especially when it came to quarterback design, run, and, you know, extended plays with legs. So going to be similar in this game. I know they're different quarterbacks, a little bit different players, but still that is an element to that offense. That's going to be big. I mentioned the turnovers being a big deal. You know, you look at, you know, our offense, they're going against a really good defense, right? I mean, you're expecting to probably see some stalled drives. You're expecting for us to maybe have some three and outs. You know, you get what I'm saying? Like, you're playing a really good defense. You're not just expected just to be marching on the field, putting up a bunch of points. Getting turnovers keeps them not only keeps them out of the end zone, but it gives the ball back to the offense. You want them to have as many opportunities as possible. And the last thing defensively I mentioned was red zone defense, which we're really good at, one of the best in the country. And it's huge because if you go back and look at all the games that we've had close games, defense really has been kind of pulling, like, you know, picking up the slack. You know what I mean by that is when we're having challenges scoring or we're sluggish on offense, man, if you go back and you really look at how the game went, right? How everything, you know, ended up playing out. The fact that we're able to hold these teams, especially in the red zone, when we're put in critical situations with our backs against the wall, limiting those points, always is big. I mean, I'd argue it was huge, definitely huge this last game, right? Against LSU, right? Holding them to only three field goals, right? I did the little math. I mean, think about it. Three field goals, if you change this to three touchdowns, that's 21 points. We only scored 20, right? That's a different ball game. Missouri, right? We were put in some tough spots. Trying to think of who else. South Carolina, for sure. South Carolina, if our defense doesn't get some of those big stops and holding those guys to field goals or getting off the field, different ball game. I see that being very similar in this game as well. So I really kind of laid out most of it for our defense. Now, I can dive into some specific matchups and stuff here in a minute, but that's kind of like my overall view for our defense on what we need to do. And I'm really pleased with where we've been at as a defense as of late. Honestly, I mean, I feel like guys are playing more confident as ever. Linebacker play has been, I mean, so much better. And that's going to be big in this game. Because if you go back and watch last year, I thought our linebackers, their run fits, how they're playing things was a huge issue. And then also up front, you know, guys with quarterback responsibility weren't exceptional either. But I feel like linebacker play in this game last year wasn't great. But as of recent in this season, right, and we're talking about this year, Hill Green and Justin Jefferson have been phenomenal. And then even Deontay Lawson, man, I mean, he looks so much healthier and more confident right now. And that's going to be big for our guys in this game. And then you look at the front. I mean, there's so many new guys that are making an impact. London Simmons, now we're seeing Keon Keeley come along. I mean, that's huge, right, for our defense, especially going against a team like Oklahoma with the things that we just described. So kind of an overall picture for us defensively. Now, we need to hit a timeout to stay on schedule. We got some interviews we got to play. Definitely got to talk about our offense and their defense. So I'm sorry, guys. We're going to talk about their defense, Oklahoma's defense a little bit here in a minute, but we got to. That's one of the biggest things in this game to pay attention to. And I know some of you guys are already talking about, whoa, look what Tennessee did. Look what Ole Miss did. Well, maybe we'll do just that. Maybe we'll pull up some tape and look and see what those guys did to have success. We'll talk about that here in a minute after this quick timeout right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Devised radio and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at wyatt.folden@townsquaremedia.com and I can tell you more, and let's help your business score big.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-91.
Get the Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa before your friends do.
On select models with approved credit while supplies last. Stock number L2417. Taxes and fees extra. See dealer for details.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Christian and Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. How about this, Chase? I know we didn't get any player interviews, and there's a whole boatload of them. We ain't even hear from the coordinators, man. I won't do those because those are a little bit further back, and we might have to try to cut those up a little bit or clip those. But I know we got Ty Simpson. I kind of want to hear from one of the guys, and then pick back up on kind of our analysis. We got plenty of time. So let's do that. Let's hear from Ty from the other day. And I'll skip through like anything that's talking about the LSU game. We can move forward from that. I just want to hear more so about Oklahoma. So let's do that. Let's jump over to a press conference from the other day that we haven't hit just yet. But this is Ty Simpson speaking to the media after practice on Tuesday.
What role do you play in that?
One, just making sure everybody's on the same page, whether it's play calls, checks, etc. And just making sure, right, that we communicate from, you know, every standpoint of whether it's a shift, motion, you know, everything else in general, right? Just making sure Parker's good and everybody up front is good as well.
Ty, Arch Manning, I think, mentioned sometimes you guys have exchanged tips before about facing certain teams. What kind of things are you guys sharing, or what are those conversations like?
Arch has got a loud mouth, huh? No, that's my guy, right? Like, we talk weekly, just, you know, not just about ball, but just like how each other doing. He's a really good friend of mine. But yeah, you know, I know he played. Who did Texas play before us? They played somebody, and we had talked before. And then of course, right, the Red River rivalry, and you know, it was a good game. So I asked him a couple questions, and you know, he asked me a couple questions about Vanderbilt and about Georgia, right? Just kind of, you know, quarterback, you know, etiquette, and just. Talking to one another, you know, just about like, hey, you know, what did you see? What did they do here? And just about plays and fronts in general, right? Just, you know, stuff that we talk about, not just as friends, but, you know, quarterbacks as well. So,
Oklahoma gives up 14 points a game. When you've looked at film of what they do defensively, what to you looks like they do so well?
Everything. That's why they only give up 14 points a game, if we're being honest, right? I mean, this is by far like the most, you know, well-coached, you know, just disruptive defense that we've seen. Just, you know, how physical they are up front, how fast they are, how confusing they are in the back end, right? You know, it goes all the way, you know, credit Coach Venables and Coach Bates all the way back to Clemson, right, with those teams. And even, you know, when Bama was playing them in the championship, they do everything well. So, you know, we got to be very disciplined in our calls, our reads, our motions, you know, everything, because, you know, we just need to make sure that everybody's on the same page and, you know, be as disciplined as we can.
Ty, there's a old, like, coach's cliche that, you know, the horizontal passing game can be an extension of the run game. Is that something that you've always heard, or kind of take us through that?
Yeah, certainly, right? I agree, the, you know, getting the ball out in space and just quick throws, right, can open up a lot more space, right, just because it gives the defense another thing to worry about. But I certainly think, right, that, like, any time that you get the ball out in space to skilled players and really good players helps everything. Helps our, you know, pass game, helps our screen game, helps our run game. So, you know, anything like that can, you know, help everything.
Ty, when your relationship with Arch began at Manning Passing Academy, or was it before that?
No, me and Arch have been friends for, shoot, a very long time, I think. We had to be like middle school. We worked out together a couple of times, right? And of course, you know, we had a ton of respect for each other, just because of, you know, us being like one of the two, the, you know, best quarterbacks, and how similar we are, right? We just love ball, and so we'll hang out outside of football. He's a nut. I could tell y'all some stories, and he could tell you some stories about me. But that's my guy. Like, you know, ton of respect to him and his family, and you know, his brother. Like, you know, he's a really good friend to have.
What's your favorite Arch Manning story?
This is what the perfect gift for a man looks like. So my wife got me this weird new kitchen.
I can't tell you that. Okay, there's a lot. I just when he came here, it was fun. It was like a movie, you know, coming here and seeing him as a recruit, and then being at the Manning Passing Academy, right where he's kind of from. So yeah, we can't talk about it.
When you volunteer at all, do you have a relationship with him?
Yeah, I know John. He was at the Manning Passing Academy as well, right? I didn't know him until then. Of course, I knew he was a baller at Washington State, right, in Oklahoma. Being there, and then my little brother, right, who's getting recruited by Oklahoma as well, and Coach Arbuckle, you know, talked very highly of John. So we got to become friends at the Manning Passing Academy. He, you know, is a baller. He's spun it great. He's just very athletic, right, just a great quarterback and carries that offense. So, you know, ton of respect to John and what he does. And, you know, not only that, but he's a really good person as well, as though a guy who I really enjoy hanging around.
What was your perspective from last year's Oklahoma and watching on the sideline? So what do you see maybe a carryover defensively from them last year?
Yeah, just one, how disruptive they are, right? Like, you know, they brought, you know, all types of stuff, right? Stuff that we hadn't seen coming off a bye, and that's what we expect, you know, this week as well. And just kind of like, you know, hey, you know, something bad's going to happen in this game, right? Just because it's a really good team. They're really good defense, you know, really, really good coaches, right? So, you know, we just need to understand that, like, we need to keep going, right? We need to be resilient, strong, have one and all mentality like we have done all year. And just understand that, like, we got to honor the game, right? Like, we compete because of, you know, how fun it is, right? Because the game is hard. And so that's what we need to understand going into this game.
When you're facing an elite defense like this, how do you view the opportunity?
It's kind of, you know, why we play football, right? It's why I came here, why I stayed here. You know, games where, you know, no other place in the country gets to play as many, you know, primetime games and against ranked opponents as we do, right? Each week is a new opportunity, a new challenge. And that's the beauty of it, right? You know, just being able to play like, you know, a guy who across the ball is a future, you know, first round pick or something like that, right? Or, a coordinator who's known for being disruptive and stuff just prepares you for the future, and it prepares you, you know, to be the best version you can be, right? So, you know, the fun's in the process and being able to look at what you did from last game and then being able to just get better, right, and do it all over again. And then, you know, you enjoy playing and the competition. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
When y'all ran that double pass against LSU, Jeremy throwing to Brooks, you ran down the middle of the field with your hand up. Did you really think you were open, or was that more window dressing?
A little bit of both. Yeah, you know, he could have thrown it. He just chose not to.
When you go against the front as disruptive as Oklahoma's is, what does it demand of you as a quarterback?
I got to be very disciplined in my reads, very conscientious of, you know, how fast and quick they are, and the twists and turns, and I got to know where my outlets are every down.
Do you guys feel tested?
Yeah, we feel tested every week. Every week in the SEC is like a different test, right? Like a different opportunity. And, you know, we kind of tell ourselves, right, like, you know, LSU last week, right? Like, they had nothing to lose. You know, South Carolina the week before that, right? Like, you know, everybody thinks that, you know, we're looking forward to the bye week. Like this week, right? You know, it's a playoff type game. You know, just every week, right? We look for a new thing that people doubt us about. And not only is it true, but it's, you know, it helps us because it just gives us fire and it makes us understand, like, you know, this is what's at stake.
What do you think needs to happen for y'all to be able to have more success when I'm here?
You know, like I said last game, right, it's a mental thing. Just, you know, understand that we can do it and we have done it before. And then two, right, you just, you know, have a confidence in being able to understand, like, we got this game, we got the players, and just believing in ourselves and, you know, doing it. Like, that's all it is. And some technique issues, but we're going to be running the ball. Like, we'll be just fine. So I believe in, you know, I believe in our coaches, believe in our O-line, and believe in our running backs. Like, we're going to have no problem, you know, running the ball.
Does that same logic apply to the deep passing game and getting that going in terms of just between the ears more than anything?
Yeah, right. Like, you know, I take credit for it because, you know, sometimes I try to throw the most perfect ball instead of just putting it on him, or, you know, even just right? Like how we attack things, right? It's just kind of part of it. So, you know, it's all a, you know, psychological warfare when it comes to that stuff. Like, you know, we hit a bunch of deep balls just fine. We need to work on it, right? Like, you know, we talked about one-on-ones, you know, after the South Carolina game, right? And I think we hit how many last game, 3 or 4, right? Like, you know, it's just, you know, building off the South Carolina game and stuff that we worked on in practice. So, you know, this week, right, what do you think we're going to work on? One-on-one balls, you know, just kind of, you know, part of it. Know, understand what our weaknesses is, and our, you know, we do self-scout and keep going.
Did something like touch get in your head, or are you thinking about that at all when you're throwing in game?
No, I don't think about that at all, right? I just think about, you know, completing the ball. I think a little bit of it is, right, of like trying to, like I said, throw the most perfect ball instead of just making sure the ball gets caught, right? And I think that happens a lot. And I also think, right, like just being able to, you know, react and not just, you know, think this is going to happen, you know. So I'm not worried about it.
Ty, when Coach O'Borkanis seems like the guy who, you know, looks forward, he kind of preaches what's next as opposed to looking back. Did it surprise you when he was like, I want you to remember what happened in Norman last year to those who experienced it? Did that surprise you at all?
No, right, because we do the same thing with Vanderbilt. You know, we understand like how bad Norman in that game hurt us last year. Right? Like, not only did it, you know, affect, you know, what our future was, but it affected us as a team. And I think, you know, everybody who was on the team last year, and, you know, coaches as well, knows, you know, what happened in practice that week, and, you know, how we viewed, you know, how we were complaining, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, right? And we were going to make sure that, like, hey, this is the same scenario and same position that we were in a year ago. Like, are we going to, you know, go the same route, or are we going to make sure that, like, it doesn't happen again? And so, you know, it starts on Tuesday, right? When we go out here, you know, it's 24 degrees when, you know, we wake up in the morning, right? Like, no, like, we're going to, instead of working out, we're practicing inside, like, we're going to go outside. Like, we're going to go short sleeves and make sure that, like, you know, we're ready to practice when we're going to go as hard as we can. So
there you have it. That was Ty Simpson speaking to the media, gave a lot of insight on where they're at as a team going in this Oklahoma game. A lot of good stuff that we can talk about when we come back. But first, we got to hit a timeout. Plus, we got the passer Payne on here. We'll pick his brain, get his thoughts on this matchup as well. When we come back after a quick timeout right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230.
Great drink specials, making it a great spot to catch the game or enjoy a night out with friends. Grandstand, located on 4th Street and Temerson Square, downtown.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are
diesel generators.
True South Generators. Online at truesouthgenerators.com. That's truesouthgenerators.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
What a beautiful afternoon. The sky's sunny. The high today, 71. Tonight, fair with a low at 44. Then for tomorrow and Saturday, a good supply of sunshine both days with mild afternoons. Highs between 72 and 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 1.9, 1230 WTBC. Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. We just heard from Ty Simpson, and that was his press conference from Tuesday. But we hadn't listened to anybody, really. And I wanted to circle back in here because I know he talked a good bit about Oklahoma, that defense, what they're expecting. And there's a number of things that he hit on that we've talked about here. And one of those things that really stood out is that when you look at this Oklahoma defense, here we go, guys. We're going to talk about them. Look, they do pretty much everything really well. They stop the run. They're physical. They fly around. They get after the quarterback. But there's two things he talked about. And one of those was what I mentioned, I think, 2 days ago now, is their ability on the back end to really disguise stuff. They're one of the better teams when it comes to that, you know, showing you different looks. Their third down packages, I mean, they run a lot of exotic pressures. They make things look like one thing. They get to another. So this is probably going to be one of the biggest challenges, I think, for our offense in terms of even just that. Like, not only are you going to be worried about the pressure and staying clean up front, like, we all know that, but I don't think many people have been talking about just how good of a job they do on the back end, right? And you talk about us really wanting to throw the football and move the football down the field like that. It's going to be big that we're able to, or Ty, I should say, is able to manage that, which I have confidence that he will. He hadn't really had an issue like that this year, but to me, I think that would be something that could cause some problems. If for whatever reason they do start throwing some stuff at him that, you know, kind of confuse him a little bit, has him step behind, like, those are the types of things that can really disrupt a quarterback, right? You talk about, like, the NFL. I mean, you see it all the time in the NFL. Defenses are not just cut and dry. There's no, oh, they're just playing quarters. I mean, there's quarters, but there's different looks. They're disguising. And that's why you see a lot of young quarterbacks when they get to the NFL, a lot of turnovers, things like that, because it happens quick and they're throwing a lot at you. Now, I'm not saying Oklahoma's like at that level, but I'm just saying I think they're probably one of the better teams that we've faced when it comes to doing that stuff. So I'm curious to see if that does, in fact, show up in this game, because I have seen it on tape just watching them with the things that they like to do. We got the passer of pain on here, and I'm definitely going to get his thoughts here in a minute on this whole matchup. But first, let's just welcome him in. Looks like he's on the road. How's everything? Where are you headed now?
Greetings, everybody. I am headed to the Sunshine State of Florida and the home state of Pitbull. And, you know, and all those other rappers down in South Florida. Now I'm headed down to Kissimmee, Florida, which is right up which is Orlando, and going to preach there Saturday and Sunday at a church. And so, big turnout Saturday. This is a men's ministry event on Saturday, and then on Sunday I got to preach four services, which I've never done in a row. That's a lot. You know, so y'all be praying for a brother, because that's a lot. Let me get my thing right.
So do you just, is it kind of rinse, repeat, or is it, I mean, something different kind
of? Well, I mean, the sermon would be different. I mean, the sermon would be the same. It'll be the same concept. But, you know, here's the thing. There's, I'm a preacher. I'm like an evangelist preacher. That's my style. I preach hard. I preach, you know, anointing. I'm not a reader. I'm not a guy that sit down and read a whole sermon. You know, people are like, have you wrote your sermon yet? And I'm like, I don't write sermons. I have bullet points and I preach, and, you know, the word sermon's in my heart. But when you preach into that level, four sermons could be hard because you exert so much energy and spirit. But God's got you. You know, he'll get me through it. And one of them is you need to be with me. One of them is a Spanish service. I don't know how that's going to go. I got to wait on the interpreter. So we'll see how that rolls. I'll be preaching. I guess he's going to have to keep up. So what happens if I start speaking in tongues, and then what does the Spanish interpreter do?
There would be no way to really translate that. So I'll be honest with you. I think they just probably just leave that part blank, but I don't know. I mean, I probably could translate for you. I'm trying to think about some, like, church or preaching vocabulary that I might have to study, but yeah.
So if I said, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, what would you say?
Al principio, Dios creó Al cielo y la tierra. Pretty much how you say that.
Yeah,
see, that's what I'm saying. Conversational stuff, I'm good. But if you start breaking out like the way things are worded, like in the Bible and stuff, yeah, brother, I don't speak that Spanish. Not yet. I speak conversation Spanish.
Well, that's a gift. That's a gift too, to translate the tongues. You know. There are people that are gifted to be able to translate that. But it's not like what you're thinking about.
Yeah, I don't know. What I do know is we need to hit this top hour break, but when we come back, I'm going to get your thoughts. Because we've been talking a lot about this game. We had a former Oklahoma running back join us yesterday. He broke it down really nice. Rodney Anderson, he's my age. He works for their collective now, but we have the same in financial advisor and got connected like that. But it was really good stuff. But I'm curious your thoughts on this matchup. I've been talking a lot about their defense. Some people are sick of it, but I mean, that's kind of the story of this game, and we'll talk about why that is with you when we come back after this quick timeout. You're listening to the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arts support experts. Be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
The NBA on Wednesday night was the Nikola Jokic show. He dropped 55 points as the Nuggets outscored the Clippers 130-116. Victor Wembanyama and Stephon Castle both had a triple-double, but the Warriors defeated the Spurs 125-120 in San Antonio, where Steph Curry dropped 46 points. The Thunder blew out the Lakers 121-92. LA had 20 turnovers in the loss, and the Magic handed the Knicks their first loss of the season at home, coming out on top 124-107. Jalen Brunson suffered an ankle injury in the final minutes of the game and was seen leaving in a walking boot and on crutches. In baseball, Tigers pitcher Tarek Skubal has won the American League Cy Young Award for the second consecutive season, becoming the first back-to-back winner in the AL since Pedro Martinez did it back in 1999 and 2000. And Pirates pitcher Paul Skeens has won the National League Cy Young Award in his second season.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at PearlRiverResort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at TwoDimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
In This Thursday, this is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feast Tour, America's art sport experts. All right, we just got done listening to Ty Simpson from his, I guess, what do you call it? Not press conference, media availability on Tuesday. Talked about that Oklahoma defense, which we're probably going to talk a little bit more about, and their offense as well. Now that we're joined by the pastor of Payne, and I'm sure he's... wait, you guys, did they play South Carolina? I can't remember if Oklahoma played South Carolina.
Yeah, I was at that game.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think they did. So you got an up close and personal look.
Yeah,
I was on the sidelines. Perfect. Well, give me your overall analysis of this Oklahoma team. I'll lay it out like this. Really good defense for me. Great front seven. Brent Venables does a whole hell of a lot of things to mess with you, right? Pre and post snap, exotic blitz is going to be tough. And then we know on the other side, kind of about a middle of the pack offense. John Mateer isn't as, I guess, polished as he was before the injury. Running game is getting a little bit better, but still a little inconsistent. And then, you know, John Mateer will be involved at times with his legs as well. And I think that'll be big for our defense to be able to stop there and get big red zone stops like we've been doing. But tell me your overall analysis of this Oklahoma football team.
First of all, a couple things. Ty Simpson, you know, I hit you up and say, Christian, you say I'm right all the time. So can somebody please call over there to the Office of Sports Information and please, he says right, like a gazillion times, like it's annoying. Like, he's a great speaker, but everything is right. And then when he does his halftime or after the game, right, with that gun, right. So Ty, I love you, bro, but cut down on the rights. Try left.
It's a coaching thing. That's what you don't understand. Like,
it's too much. It's overkill.
That's how a lot of coaches talk. Have you not listened to
Nick Saban said I.
He's not right, but no, but I thought Kane Womack uses riot a lot, but for me it was Jeremy Pruitt always said, right? I don't know. Why are you judging? Should you not?
I'm not the judge. I'm listening to him. I've heard on the TV. It's like when you are in this business for so long, like I have been TV, like they would tell you, stop saying right so much. I mean, it's just kind of like I know it's a transfer from sentences, but it's like it's over. He says right. Just, you know, and let's get back to Oklahoma.
Did you tell Nick Saban that about I mean, like, you ain't complain about that.
Yeah, but he didn't say it even. He wasn't even near what Ty Simpson's doing. He just doing that mentally, like, with his hand, I, you know. But, listen, Oklahoma is a formidable opponent for Alabama. There's no doubt about this. This might be the toughest matchup. And when I look at this Oklahoma team, I kind of look at it, the matchup like that we saw with South Carolina. You know, defensively, they got a very active defensive front. I think they're going to have one of the better, maybe besides Texas A&M, better defensive fronts in the SEC that's going to get at you. Brent Venables brings his sharp pencil. He's going to give you so many different fronts. They're going to slide fronts. They're going to put under, over. They're going to zone dog you. They're going to blitz you. They're going to bring people from all over. Their job, and this is Brent Venables. Go back and watch Clemson back in the day when they played Alabama. I mean, the defense hadn't changed. I mean, they bring guys. He want athletic linebackers. He want guys that can blitz. He's got guys that can cover that linebacker, can rush, can play the run. So they're going to present a major problem against Alabama. One, Alabama cannot run the football. They can't. I mean, they try to. They don't always just, you know, go away from it. But they're not good at it. And the problem's going to be if they can't run the football and they get into third and longs, they're going to have a nightmare offensively because they are going to be in big trouble. And this is where Brent Venables is going to draw up these exotic blitzes, exotic pressures, and he's going to come at you. I saw them up close and personal. They're athletic up front. Their defensive linemen, extremely big and athletic. Their linebackers are runners. They're run and hit guys. Secondary, they got good cover guys back there. And so what's been the problem for Alabama's offense? Blocking speed. blowing offensive blocking packages when pressure is coming. This has been a problem. Now, they have overcome it for the most part, except Florida State, but they have had a major issue. And I promise you, Brett Venable's going to go back and go look at South Carolina. And South Carolina didn't do any exotic stuff. South Carolina just, you know, they were just with those edge guys much better than Alabama tackles. And that is the weakness of this offense, is the offensive line. Better inside, struggle on the perimeter. So I think this is going to be a major problem. And they got to find a way. This is where Ryan Grubb is going to have to get creative. If they can't run the football, then they're going to use motion. They're going to bring Jeremy Bernard. They're going to use those wide receivers, 17. I think his name is Brooks. They're going to use those guys and swing routes, put them in the backfield. Those are going to kind of be like running plays. And the key there is just to get it, the change moving, second and medium, second and five. You know, if it's third down, third, two, or three, that way they could be a run slash pass, you know, so they're not predictable. They're not becoming one-dimensional. So Alabama is a really good team. Oklahoma is a really good team. Now, on the flip side of that, what does Alabama's defense do against Mateer? They're going to want to run the ball. Where does Alabama struggle? Athletic, mobile quarterbacks. Uh-oh. Well, that's what Mateer is. He can run. You know, we talk about the injury in his hand and all that good stuff, but he can run the football, and he could be that extra weapon that you got to pay attention to. Oklahoma's not going to beat you throwing 300 yards and three touchdowns. That's not their game. They're going to run the ball. They're going to try to keep you off balance. They're going to run inside zones. They're going to run outside zones. They'll do a little trickery here there as well to keep you off balance. This is going to be a very intense matchup. I mean, I'm excited about this game. And I heard Tyson talk about last year. He didn't play in that game, but, you know, they got ran out in the building just because they couldn't stop the run. I mean, when they run for 245, 250 against Alabama's defense last year, embarrassing. You don't think they're looking at this film and they're going to say, is this team better at stopping the run? Maybe. But they're going to definitely get tested there. So it's going to be a chess match, I think. You look at an offense in Alabama that's probably the highest scoring offense, I think, in the SEC, or one of the top two or three best offense in the conference versus one of the best defenses. Something's going to have to break. Something's going to have to give. So if you're Alabama, the big advantage is your home. You have momentum going for you. You lost to them last year, so you got that get-back spirit right now. You got that get-back in your locker room. That's a good thing, and I think that's going to help them overcome in the end. But I'm going to tell you, this is going to be a dogfight, a four-quarter game because of the matchup. Anytime Alabama plays a great defensive front, they have trouble offensively. That offense don't look smooth. It didn't look good against South Carolina for three quarters and a half, pretty much. That South Carolina stifled them. Right. So this is what I'm saying right now. So this is what is going to happen on Saturday. I do believe that it's going to be one of those kind of types of games. They're going to have to grind out some points. Oklahoma's not going to give up big plays, chunk yardage. That's not who they are. Brent Venables is excellent when it comes to defense. He really is. So Alabama has seen this before in years past. So he's been one of the best players in the country. So we'll see if Ty Simpson and his offense can get things going out. If they're able to be able to run the ball a little bit, that helps them to become not one-dimensional. But I'm really looking forward to see if they can, because it's up to this point, even with Jam Miller back there and number four, I'm drawing a blank of his name right now.
Daniel, I like
very much. He's a thumper. He's a great football player. They just don't have it up front. As big as Alabama is, as massive. I mean, I was on there talking to Chap, you know, to Jeff Allen on the field, and the lineman came. Man, I looked at, besides the center, I mean, Roberts, I mean, they look scary. I mean, Proctor, no, I mean, he ain't even fat. I mean, this big, massive, look like Tarzan dudes. I mean, I'm talking about huge. But, man, I watched him out there. I'm like, they play patty cake, bro. I mean, to be that massive, they're not that physical. I mean, I'm being honest. I mean, I'm watching it up close and personal. I see them getting destroyed, especially not. I know our edge guys look good, but our tackles who have just been okay was destroying them on the inside. And Oklahoma has a better front, especially interior, than South Carolina. So we're going to see. I mean, they're going to have to really attack. I think they attack the outside, the flanks of the defense, try to get things going. When you got one back, you're very simple. And that's why I don't like this offense when it comes to running the football. When you got one back, you become very one-dimensional as far as what you can do. And if you don't have a running quarterback, yes, Ty Simpson is athletic, but he's not known as a runner. He ain't trying to run the football. So now you're really, really basic in your run game. And this is not the Alabama offensive line of old that could mano a mano, toe to toe, line up, punch dudes in the chest, and hip drive them 3 or 4 yards, and they're not playing on the offensive side of the line of scrimmage. This is not the offensive line. So when you got this type of offense, as far as a running game is concerned, it don't work. You know, unless you got a Barry Sanders that can just make people miss and find creases. Jam Miller's not that. Daniel Hill is not that. That's why I think you see struggles with this running game.
Yeah, no, I understand. And we'll talk a little bit more about that because we after the show yesterday, we went back and watched Vanderbilt, arguably our best rushing performance of the year. And you saw physicality. You saw guys driving players off the ball. You saw successful double teams and combos, you know, climbing to the second level. You saw holes opening up and guys hitting those holes. It just seems like we haven't been able to recreate that. And I feel like since Jam came back from the concussion, he's been a lot more patient with some of that stuff. And I'm at the point where I'm with you. I mean, I feel like, you know, if we're not going to be able to effectively run the ball and doing all these different things, simplify, just go zone duo and let Daniel Hill just run downhill and fall forward for 2, 3, 4 yards and just kind of just keep chopping at the bit like that until something opens up. Maybe I don't know, but we'll talk a little bit more about it in a second. Plus, I got the tape pulled up, got some stuff we can take a look at. This Oklahoma defense does. So if you guys want to check that out, join us on the stream at the Miller's Edge. But first, we got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling right here. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
The house.
Oh, my God.
With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
What a beautiful afternoon. The sky's sunny. The high today, 71. Tonight, fair with the low at 44. And for tomorrow and Saturday, a good supply of sunshine both days with mild afternoons. Highs between 72 and 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support expert. Just kind of rolling through some of this tape here, Ole Miss, Oklahoma. And I watched this game live, but going back and watched it, just kind of getting a little bit more of an idea on some of the things that they do. And you'll see a lot, again, those third down packages that they run, man. They'll bring heat, they'll drop guys, they'll pop them out, they'll show them and drop them late. And I think that's going to be interesting, man. Can we? Because we've been really successful, especially, you know, moving the football down the field. Really clutch. Now, I know we've had some drops or just missed guys, but in terms of, like, scheming guys open, that is one thing that we do really well. We can attack the middle of the field, hit those hole shots. That has been, you know, very successful for us. But going against this defense with all the different things that they do, you heard Ty talk about it, man. I mean, they do a lot of stuff on the back end, too. Not many people talk about that aspect. They just kind of focus on the front. But on the back end, they throw a number of different things at you. Will be a tough task for our offense. Flipping on the other side of the ball, I know you mentioned a little bit about Mateer, but with the way Alabama's defense has been playing, which has been really solid, man, I said this, tweeted it after the LSU game. I said, I think it's time for people to start recognizing Kane Womack and the job that he's done, especially late, given that, look, he was susceptible to some criticism, especially early on in the year. Week one, very poor performance defensively. Hear me out. Listen. Hear me out. Couple, you know, performances after that. Good performances, but leaky with the run defense. Too many explosives given up. But they kept getting better and better and better. Pass rush was an issue. We talked about that preseason, early season. But if you look at it now, we said they need that closer. We need that game changer. Yanze Pierre has put himself in that role as that guy. And we've seen it paying dividends for Alabama. Now, we still don't have the best numbers in pass rush or anything like that. But, again, I don't worry so much about that. I worry about what my eyes see. And when I see a guy like Yanze go out there and basically call game against LSU, strip sack, that's what we need. And that was one of the missing elements that we had. When I see young guys coming along, Keon Keeley getting some opportunities now, making the most of it, kind of reminds you like when I was, you know, younger and finally getting some opportunities, I made sure I made the most of him. He's doing just that. And I'm really, really happy for him because he's been busting his ass behind the scenes. And even linebacker play, man. Linebacker play, we talked about it. It was not great early on in the year. It wasn't. I mean, and we even said, I mean, I hate to call a guy out, but Deontay Lawson wasn't playing his best ball, right? And he probably still was feeling the effects of, you know, coming off that injury. But you look at, as of recent, man, with 41 Hill Green, the way he's playing, Justin Jefferson flying around, heat-seeking missile, then Deontay Lawson looks so much better, more comfortable, man. Like, I personally feel like it's time to acknowledge Kane Womack and the defensive staff and those players and what they've been doing. Sounds like you don't, I don't know if you're shaking your head. It sounds like you gave me a little pushback initially. Why do you still have pushback? Listen, let me ask you this, is it because you're not really looking at everything they're doing and you're still kind of just focusing a little bit too much on some of the negatives? Because I said this on the post-game show I do with Gray Robertson on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. I feel like, and not as much last week or two, but even before that, if you really think about it, defense, like, even when they were getting a lot of criticism, they were still doing a lot of good stuff. They were holding teams to low points. They were coming up big in critical moments. But there would be those small moments in the game where they get a little leaky, they give up some explosives. And I felt like everybody's attention was so focused on that part that a lot of people were overlooking the positive. Almost like, hey, man, 75% of the stuff they're doing is actually really good. They're forcing turnovers. They're getting big stops. They're getting off the field. And then you got a little 20-25% here and there where they give up a big play. But I feel like that 20-25% has been shrinking more and more to the point where, bro, they've kind of saved us. I mean, the South Carolina, it was the defense that pretty much won. I know offense won it at the end, but you get what I'm saying. Defense and their performance.
That was, no, listen, that was Lenora Sellers.
No, Lenora Sellers definitely, like, yeah. Listen, we shirt the ball, but what I'm saying is, we were put in tough spots, and they held strong, and they got stops. LSU got put in some tough spots, right? Held strong, and they only had 3 field goals. You're still not ready to come around to it, man? Why? Tell me why.
Oh, okay.
Listen, I'm
hey, not I ain't got no Kool-Aid with me today, but, I'm traveling almost 7 hours. Got to make sure I stay hydrated, you know. But this right here is called Mio, Mio, M-I-O. Can y'all see this? Right? This, you just put this in the water. Right? Some plain. I got Starbucks. I got my water jug here. Right? I got my jug here full of ice water. Starbucks got some of the best filtrated water, by the way. Then I put this in. It gives them. It's like Kool-Aid. It's like Kool-Aid, what I'm trying to tell you. And Christian is... He got a cup full of it right there in Tuscaloosa.
No, this is a very smoothie that I made this morning.
Okay, but whatever. But the thing is, okay, if you want to say the defense got better based on what you saw with your eyes, okay, give you that. The reality is they haven't played anybody with an offense that makes you go, They haven't played anybody that won an offense. Vanderbilt, if you want to get that one, that's probably the best one they played.
Tennessee right? Tennessee was the top offense coming into that game.
Man, Tennessee offense has been mud. I mean,
I got you, but I'm saying, come on statistically, now. They were the top offense.
They ain't played nobody offensively that's going to threaten them. They haven't, and they got the benefit this year, Oklahoma even. They don't have an offense like that. That's juggernaut. right? Auburn, there I go right again. Auburn doesn't have it either. So they're going to get by, and then what's going to happen is the Kool-Aid drinkers out there is going to start hyping this defense up. And if you watch them, they are not like that juggernaut. I like 42 and what he has done. I think he has helped them on the edge. But still, he's not. Nobody's scared of 42. Pierre, Juan Pierre, whatever his name is. My point to you, Christian. Yonze. Juan, Yonze, you know, whatever. The thing is.
Come on, all right, now, don't do that. Come on, that's what Damian's talking about with that. Come on, don't.
Yonze Pierre, right? Yonze.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know why I was thinking Juan, you know, whatever.
Well, but it's a little different name.
Yes. So my thing is this, man. I think they have gotten better, especially in the pass rush department. Mm-hmm. I'm still not sold on their secondary. I think when they play an offense that got frisbee catching dogs, that can sling it around, that Alabama is going to struggle defensively. They just have not had to play somebody. Even Vanderbilt, they are trickeration offense. They're going to, you know, with all these inside zones, and they're not no wide open offense that's going to be slinging the ball over the yard. Alabama has gotten very blessed and lucky, fortunate, whatever you want to call it, to not having to play an offense that's going to threaten this defense. So I think if you're not careful, you're going to get this like, oh, man, this defense, I'm telling you. And they made a critical stop. Well, the pick six was thrown right. I mean, it was tipped up. It was bobbled because the running back just dropped the ball. Razul Faison, the running back of South Carolina, that gave him that. Lenore's trying to stretch the ball out on the run play, and the guy hits it and it comes out. It's not like this defense done anything.
Well, hold on. I want you to keep going, but I will say this, though. Tennessee, I wanted to see where Tennessee is at right now, because I knew they're going into the game, they were the number one scoring offense and like top two or at least of just total offense. That remains the same, if not better, because nationally, they still are the number one scoring offense. And they are actually the number one total offense in the country, averaging 504 yards per game. So, I mean, listen, you got to give credit there. I mean, listen, and what I will say this, not everything you're saying, technically what you're saying is not too far off, because I do agree, and I've made comments, like Missouri, they were one of the best teams rushing, but they had no vertical passing game. And I thought that definitely clearly played in our favor in that matchup. South Carolina, very similar situation, right? Tennessee, though, there's not really an excuse that you can kind of come up with that one. I mean, it's the number one scoring offense, and they run the ball well. They throw the ball well. They've got frisbee catching dogs. They got, dude, their receiver room is arguably almost as good as ours, I would argue. I mean, they've got talent there. And we saw how the defense played that game. So, listen, all I'm saying is I'm not – now, Reagan came on here and said he feels like this defense is – I think he said is good or better is like some of the like defense like I played on. I said respectfully, hell no, I wouldn't go that far.
Reagan don't sleep much sometimes, right?
Yeah, he might not have slept.
Yeah, he ain't getting no rest of them.
But they are – they are making huge strides, and that's what I want to acknowledge, right? More so than anything. Not so much like I get that we probably could have faced some other teams that really challenged us in some other aspects, but let's just call a spade a spade. We go on the road to Missouri. They're averaging like 300 yards on the ground. We saw the explosives that we've been giving up on the ground. Our defense impressed me, even though I thought Missouri didn't really lean into it as much as I thought. I think their backs had a combined of like 17 carries total. I thought they kind of got away from what they do best. But still, even when they tried to do it, outside of that one run by Roberts, we held them to like a very low number on the ground. So, again, I'm giving credit. That's what I'm saying. I think you're looking from like a broad angle, like, whoa, this. And I hear what you're saying, because it's not all the way off. But I'm like, come on, man. At some point, I'm saying, I think it's time to acknowledge the strides that they made. It's not their fault. Not all the offense they played have been the most explosive offense.
I gave them a slow clap.
But I'm saying, even like something like this, like the big stops in the red zone, I think we are one of the best teams defensively when it comes to red zone. I mean, like, that's huge, man. Like, that, like, think about, like, Vanderbilt, right? Vanderbilt, they get the ball. I forgot what it was. They're marching down the field. They're looking to go up two scores on us, which if they do, that game could go completely different. Justin Jefferson, man, it's not like a fluke. It's not like the ball came, that intentionally ripping the ball out. You watch LSU, Bray Hubbard, first play of the game, intentionally ripping the football out. Peanut punch by 41 and landing on the bike. The South Carolina thing, yeah, you get blessed every now and then, tips and overthrows. That's part of football. And listen, you got to take advantage of it. Y'all had an opportunity, Ty, threw it a double coverage. We took a shot on second down, right into 31's hands, and he dropped it like he just got done eating a bag of popcorn. You know what I'm saying? So you still got to take advantage of it, right? So I'm just saying, like, I mean, like, what would it take for you to kind of give them that? Not that this even matters. I'm just saying,
when they, if they went out, they're going to probably play Texas A&M or Georgia, right? If they went out.
You said Texas. Listen. Texas A&M is good. You wouldn't, there's nothing you could, even though Tennessee is statistically better in a lot of that stuff, Texas A&M, they have a lot of stuff that, in terms of talking about their quarterback with what he can do with his legs. Say we play Texas A&M in the SC championship game, and defense does what they need to do. There's no way you come back on this show after that and have the same attitude you have right now. And we agree on that. Again, this is, I mean,
if they do it against A&M, and then they're gonna get Georgia again. I'd love to see them get Georgia.
Well, we did it, but we played Georgia.
No, I said again.
Like, come on, man. I mean, like, you're really stretching goalposts now, bro.
I'm just saying, I just want to see.
Again, we mean again. You saw it ahead. I mean, I know it was early on in the year, but it was at Georgia. I mean, bro.
That was a great win.
That was a hit.
We gave away too many yards in the game.
I'm with you.
I would much rather see Alabama, Georgia again than Alabama, A&M.
Nah, to me, what A&M has the ability of doing with their quarterback Malik Reed, with his ability to run and whatnot and throw, to me, going and shutting down that, I'm just
something. You got a better chance. You got a better chance of beating A&M. Better chance of beating Georgia again.
Well, that's why I'm saying I would put more respect on a good defensive performance against A&M because of that dynamic with a quarterback like Malik Reed. Not to mention, we hadn't played them. We already played Georgia. Even though it's hard to be a team twice, you at least, you know, you got tape from the same year you're going to, you know, building off of that. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We'll continue. This is a good conversation. There's some comments I want to read in the chat. I'm sure they got some questions for you with your take, which is great, man. I love it when we get the pot stirred a little bit. Makes for good radio.
I knew a guy named Ricky. I guess you could say he don't know football.
Oh, wow.
I'm just kidding, Ricky. I'm going to give you some Kool-Aid right here.
He's giving you some Kool-Aid, and we'll continue. Well, I'm not. He will. When we come back after this quick timeout, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
And the clock's going to run out, and Bama's going to win it. And for the love, let's get out of here.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide welcome the Oklahoma Sooners to Tuscaloosa. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online.
35905. That's 800-583-5905.
Tax relief advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Must qualify for enrollment. Results may vary.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Thursday. This is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. All right, so I feel like we're not going to really get much movement with your stance on that right now. So we'll see after.
I mean, listen, I think they're going to have an opportunity this week against Oklahoma to.
Oklahoma's offense isn't anything, though.
But they struggle with a dual threat quarterback. And I'm just trying to tell you, Mateo can play, and he can make every throw. Now, I mean, he hurt his hand. He got back very quickly, and I think it took him some time to kind of adjust. He might have, your hand and throwing, that's a problem. So, but Mateo is an excellent football player. I'm just trying to tell you, he can make throws.
He's not throwing the ball nearly as well.
Okay. Sleep on him and see.
I shouldn't say like they're nobody. What I'm saying is, to me, if you say, if Bama's defense plays well against Oklahoma's offense, that'll kind of move the needle. To me, that don't really make sense to me, because I'm like, I would be much more impressed by how we played against Tennessee, the number one offense in the country, versus Oklahoma, where you could look like, Oklahoma, they hardly throw for 150 yards a game.
What's Tennessee's record?
What do they have, 2 or 3 losses now? I can't remember. They've got 3. They're 6-3.
Is anybody talking about Tennessee? Nah.
Listen, if I had to pick a couple offenses right now that I feel like...
They were scoring 50, 60 points against nobody. Your stats can be inflated.
They also still put up like 27 on Oklahoma's defense, who only averages 14. So, I mean, listen, bro, let's not act like it's that. I mean, yes, that is true, but don't make it seem like that's the only picture. If we got a matchup against like Ole Miss or A&M, I fight those matchups, man. I mean, those would definitely be tough. But again, this is all hypothetical stuff.
I am Alabama. I think Alabama got a great chance to do some great things this year. I think Kalen DeBoer has a great opportunity to get the monkey off his back from last year. But they got to finish well. I mean, everybody's in parade mode already down in Tuscaloosa. Right? You get on there and everybody's all right, Kalen, but he has to finish well. If they end up going to Atlanta, he needs to win it. Then what they do in the playoff, I just think they're going to find the wrong matchup, and then they're going to get exposed. That's what I see, because of that offensive line. I really do.
I hate to say it, but I'm not going to completely disagree with you, because I keep saying I think it's going to take us matching up with a team that also has really good defense, but is also very capable of putting points on the board. Because we all know, like, our defense playing really well, but at some point, man, like, you can't rely on your defense to just be perfect all the time or come up with all these stops. Like, at some point, there's going to be a team that matches up, and they're also going to be able to capitalize, because let's just face it, a lot of teams haven't been capitalizing playing us. So I hear exactly what you're saying. I also feel like that if we don't, let me be clear, because I don't want people sitting there getting mad at me and start calling me Greg McRoy or Damien just because I'm just going off of my football sense. If we don't get things cleaned back up offensively, where we get back to those long, efficient drives, controlling time of possession, being able to, excel at that 2-minute drill, put points up on the board. Because, again, I don't expect us to just be – we haven't been blowing anybody out. Best believe we're not going to just magically get to the postseason. That's just going to start happening. What I'm saying go ahead.
I was just going to say, for me, Bama has been wild. I know they only lost one game. And they've won clutch games. But it's just something when I watch them, I don't come away from the TV too wild. Like, this team.
But you said there wasn't a big gap between them and Oklahoma, or Ohio State. So, like,
I think the overall product is down because parity, because money and portal. But. No, I don't think there's a huge gap, but...
For that, you'll need to sign in your account again. When it's safe, check your car notification.
So the thing is, they just don't wow me. They're a good team. They are feisty, if you will. They are gritty. They win. They win. Like South Carolina win. To Vanderbilt win. You know, they grunt. They get it. They get it done. That's all that really matters. But if you're asking me, does Alabama wow me to be like this juggernaut team? No. I think they are very beatable against a lot of people. I think they're 15.
Come on, man.
I think they're 15 teams that can beat them. Yeah, I mean, the neutral site game. I'm just saying.
Now listen, here's my thing. So your opinion, you're entitled to that. But here's my thing. It's like you'll say something that definitely has merit, right? Like there's a lot of people that also a lot of people, right, that watch Alabama and they're still there, and that's true, right? You talk about whether it's our inability to run the ball consistently. You know, the middle eight were great at the first half of that, you know, the 2 minute drill before half, but then coming out, we've seen a number of turnovers come out of halftime or just slow starts at a halftime, three and outs. So I get what you're saying in letting teams stay in the game. So, like, what you're saying is people hear it and they're not going to want to hear it and they're just going to immediately, you know, respond. But to be fair, I know exactly what you're saying and it's not completely wrong, but it's like you choose to go all the way. I would not say there's, 15 teams that I feel confident can. No, bro, we've played four teams that are still currently ranked. I think it's still four.
Top 15, I think. And I think just Alabama, I'm thinking that's mostly everybody.
No, I get what you're saying.
I'm just saying there's just parity across the league, period. I mean, there's nothing in Alabama that shows me, hey, they're going to play Oklahoma or they're going to blow them out. There's nothing about Alabama that says when they play Auburn, it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a close game. And it's all. I don't think they possess the dudes across the board that they just show up and beat people down like they stole something. I don't see that. I see a gritty team that will grind it out. They are confident. They don't lose hope. They got a good gel as far as the team is concerned. They got great leadership. And it doesn't matter. Just win the game. I'm just saying, but from the eye test, watching them for now 9 games, they don't wow me like they used to, like your team, and think that they show up and I expect them to win and win big.
I don't see that anymore. We do our predictions every Friday, and I hate to say this, but when our fans and our listeners, I should say, when they give us our predictions, and it's always like, you know, 17 plus points, like by 75% of the predictions, I'm like, man, I just don't really see that type of ball being played, let alone not just here, but really, really everywhere. Let me look at this. This is the most recent. You made the comment about those top 10, 15 teams or whatever. Ohio State, Indiana, A&M, then us, of course, at 4. Georgia, 5. Texas Tech, 6. Ole Miss, 7. Oregon, 8. Notre Dame, 9. Texas, 10. You got Oklahoma, 11. That's where it starts to get. I mean, you got BYU, Utah, Vanderbilt, Miami, Georgia Tech. That said, I get what you're saying, but to be fair, I don't really see anybody really blowing anybody out. Like, I mean, I feel like you could almost probably say the same thing. You feel like the way about Ohio State, Indiana, like if they're matched up with other top 10 to 15 teams, you could confidently say like they don't really wow you to the point where you're expecting blowouts?
Indiana?
You're saying Indiana would be...
Indiana's a good team, but I just have a heart for Indiana. When I say Indiana, I still think of Bobby Knight. Sorry. I mean, I have a hard time watching Indiana.
I know, but I'm just saying,
it's Indiana, but they're going to do the same thing they did last year. They're going to get to the playoffs and lose. That's what's going to happen. Are they going to run up into a... No. I think the Big Ten is just that bad. I mean, think about it. The third best team used to be Penn State, that fired James Franklin. Now you got Indiana. Now you got Ohio State. You got Oregon, who's an okay team. Oregon's not the same. You watched them play last week. They got lucky and won that ball game against Iowa. They shouldn't even won that game. I mean, so listen, the Big Ten is just, I don't even know how good Ohio State is. I don't.
So what you're saying right now, I'm just trying to clarify for our listeners before they start riding on other shows, and I'm kidding, is that you're saying pretty much across the board in college football, there's just not anybody that you really, and I agree, I think majority of anybody that watches any other teams would say the same thing.
Well, there's nobody even that listens to consider go Alabama. They expect Alabama to show up there and just, no, Alabama.
Eastern Illinois, right? I think we can agree on that one. That's expected to be a blowout.
Oh, they play them? Okay.
We play Eastern Illinois after Oklahoma. We got Oklahoma, Eastern Illinois, and we go on the road.
I wouldn't even play any of my starters. I'll put the freshman team out there.
But don't say that, because you got a whole hell of a lot of people that are about ready to ride, because they want to see our freshman running back get some more carries. They've about had it with all the other backs, and they're wondering why we're not seeing
them. They should play them guys. I mean, why are you going to play your star Eastern Illinois?
No, you're talking about Eastern. No. They're down. They want to see him, like, right now, like this week.
I might give time one or two surgeries. I'm going to put the freshman in there.
So you're talking about Eastern Illinois. We can't jump the gun, though. Let me ask you this real quick. We got a couple minutes. Chase, if you don't mind, we'll just combine breaks. We'll get out of here in like 2 minutes. You feel confident?
Hey, Chase. How you doing, Chase? Talk to your boy, Chase. Hey, Corey. God bless you, Corey, man. It's great to hear your voice.
Let him speak for himself. What? That's crazy. Why stop playing with my guy, Chase, man?
Save my dude. He's the one that greets me when I do call the phone line. He just says, hey, Corey, boy, it's so great to hear you, man. He's a godly man. Chase is a godly man. Go ahead.
He is a godly man. Let me ask you this. So you do, and again, I'm just asking the question. I don't want our folks to get all upset. But you
I
do
want
feel
them to
like,
get upset.
Man, you just like, you like good, good attention. You feel like if Alabama drops this game,
Done
really to matter to them?
No. I mean, it matters because you want to win, you know, but at the same time, I think if you're 10-2, every fan, if they were given 10-2 at the beginning of the year with a new quarterback in Ty Simpson, they would have been like, I'll take that every day, all day, twice on Sunday, right? And I'm going to be in the playoffs. That's what matters. Get into the playoffs and play your best football in the playoffs. That's what I'm saying. I don't even really care about the SEC championship no more. To me, conference championships don't.
I do. Listen. I played in four of them. I've won four of them. Confetti falling on you, the rings you get. You're damn right. I care about it. I hate that whole thing now where it's like, maybe we shouldn't play in it to rest up.
I don't have a regular season champion. They just need to do a regular season champion and be done with it.
Nah, bro. There's history behind this, bro. Didn't you get honored at the SEC championship game being an SEC legend?
I did. That was cool, but they could honor me anyway. Any game would have been the same. My platinum would have been the same.
Shout out to CJ Mosley. He's the one that's getting honored there this year.
But that's a very special achievement. I'm just trying to tell you that you and that were some of the best players ever played the game. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, I don't take that. I mean, I only played George every year, but been one of the best players. I mean, they don't, whether you play the SEC or not, it's one of the best players ever played. And that's a high recognition. So shout out to the SEC.
But like I said, I care about it. I want us to win the SEC championship. And I think you win this game. I mean, you got to worry about the voodoo over in Jordan Hare. But
I might be more worried about Auburn than Oklahoma.
All right, bro, come on. Every week we got a whole
man, they got a new coach. You know, they're going to throw everything at Alabama but the kitchen sink. And you know, bad things seem to happen. So if you're a praying person, if you got some anointing oil, go down to Auburn, Alabama, and start pouring. Because you know, it just seemed like every time Alabama's on the road, here comes Auburn with some foolishness, you know, kick six. You know, I'm just trying to tell you.
Man, break that curse. Need to be reminded of that right now, because we got to get out of here. I don't want people to end on that note. Big thanks to Chase behind the glass, all our listeners, Pastor Payne joining us on the. I guess the highway line, we'll call it that, where he joins us.
I'm getting ready to cross into Jacksonville, Florida right now.
There you go. Good deal. Florida games. And we'll look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow right on the Miller's Edge, Top 100.9, 1230 WTBC.